special meeting of the Board of Directors for August 6, 2015. We have the agenda before us. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? So move. Is there a second?
Second.
Any objection to the agenda? If not, we'll move into it. We have two prior executive sessions of the board to certify. I ask Ms. Hutchins if she would do that, or I'll do it, whichever. Okay.
I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at the board executive session of July 23rd and July 30th, 2015, only such matters as are authorized for a discussion in executive session under board bylaws, Articles 10, and only those matters identified in the notices by which the executive sessions were convened, were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Certifications are accepted. We have several business items here for today's special board meeting, but the main purpose is to receive the fiscal 14 and fiscal 13 financial statement audits. Following the FTA financial management oversight report of last year, we made a commitment to all our stakeholders and to the region that we would redouble our efforts to ensure that our finances, our processes, our procedures, our documentation, and our financial controls are in order. We're still working on that, very definitely. But the issuance and receipt by the board of the fiscal 14 financial statements does mark an important milestone in carrying us towards the goal that we still have to meet. We have heard from the auditor that, with the exception of the item that has been described, the financial statements are presented fairly, accurately reflecting our financial position. We have work to do on that exception, and we've heard that progress will continue as we move now into the fiscal 15 audit, but I really want to thank the staff and McGladrey for all of the cooperation in getting us to the point where we are today. And commit that we will continue this effort going forward into the future. We also will be asked today as a board to acknowledge receipt of the fiscal 13 restated financials as re-audited by CLA. So while there's still a lot more to be done in the area of financial management, getting to the point of issuing the independent audit does show a step in the right direction and commitment that will continue until we're to the point where we run this like clockwork, which is what we really should be doing. Following the audit approvals, there are two other items that have come up and would be best hopefully handled now before we adjourn for the month of August. One would be to delegate authority to the interim general manager to accept the Silver Spring Transit Center and also to finalize an agreement, an amendment to the District of Columbia Reduced Fare Agreement. We'll hear about those. But before we get to those, I would like to move to amend the board's procedures and committee assignments to add board member Malcolm Augustine to the Customer Service and Operations Committee. That's a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
He would be replacing Mr. Goldman, who will continue as chair of the Safety Committee. All in favor of that change?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. Thank you. That concludes my remarks, and I'll turn the floor back to the Audit and Investigation Committee Chair, Mr. Giancola.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two action items are being requested of the Audits Investigation Committee to the board. While we have accepted the audits, the two audits that we mentioned previously at the committee meeting, I would like to recommend action to receive the restated 2013 external audit submitted by Clifton, Larson, and Allen, which includes both the independent auditor's report on financial statements and the single audit reports. That's my motion. Of course, okay, I can't move it, so somebody needs to move that.
So moved.
All right.
Mr. Evans.
Thank you.
I will be voting present on this today, and I just wanted to explain that quickly so there is no, so people understand why I'm doing it. I have checked around, and unfortunately, Metro appears to be the only organization when the audited financial statements are presented to the organization that actually votes on it. Generally, in other organizations, governments, private sector, the financial statements are presented to the organization and they're received, but there isn't a formal vote. So because of that, I don't feel comfortable voting on receiving them, so I'm going to vote present. And so that's, I just want to alert people up front.
Any other discussion? If not, all in favor of receiving the financial audit, indicate with an aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? One vote present. So the Clifton Larson Allen financial audits are received by the board.
Thank you. The second item is the receipt of the 2014 financial statements audit. This is the recommended action to receive the 2014 external audit submitted by McGladrey, and it includes the independent auditor's report on the financial statements.
So moved. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? One voting present. The 2014 audited financial statements are received by the board. That completes the business with respect to the audit. So I will turn over to Mr. Requa, the interim general manager, with respect to two items that are on the consent calendar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first item is the Silver Spring Transit Center. This project has been underway since 2004 when WMATA and the Montgomery County reached an agreement on a memorandum of understanding. Design began in 2006 and construction began in 2008. The project is coming to completion. In meetings with the county over the last several weeks, we have gotten to the point where the certificate of occupancy has been received by the county. There's a short punch list of items that need to be done. WMATA has supplied their items that they'd like to see done, and we expect that work to be done by next week. In accordance with the agreement, the county is ready to ask us to accept the facility. We have a 10-day process to do that, and because it's an asset worth more than $1 million, it needs to be approved by the board of directors. And in deference to trying to wait till September 24th at the board meeting to do that, I'm requesting authorization to allow me to accept the facility once the punch list is complete and that we're satisfied, so that we can begin take ownership of the facility and begin doing the last necessary steps to provide service, which would begin before the September 24th board meeting out of the transit center.
The timing of taking this up today is the fact that it would be delayed, potentially delayed.
The facility would be sitting there with, it has the opportunity to use it to make improvements to the transit services at the Silver Spring area, and we'd like to do that rather than earlier than the September 24th date.
But we still will be working through the punch list items, and as I understand, our safety department will be doing
Yes, they're doing the safety certification at this time. That'll be complete before we would accept. The punch list is expected to be done next week, and our activities should be completed within certainly well before September 24th to allow service to begin.
Any questions? Further any discussion? It's consent agenda. I thought we'd take both unless you want to separate them.
Can we separate them?
We'll divide them. Fine. Okay. Other than a motion to approve the first consent item?
So moved.
Is there a second? Second. Any discussion? Further discussion? Mr. Evans?
This is on the Silver Spring. Okay. Mr. Reckwick, if you could, as a relatively new board member, so I haven't spent a whole lot of time studying this project, but it has been in the news for a long time as a problematic project. So we are now, as a board, accepting this. What are the downside risks of accepting this project? Not that I'm not going to vote to accept it, because I know we have an agreement to do that, but I want to do this with my eyes wide open, so that when things, if they do go wrong, I can acknowledge that indeed I was aware of that. Now, some of the potential ones that I'm thinking of out loud that may or may not be is, we're getting a center that had some problems with being able to use it in the first place. Is the public going to be concerned about using this? What are the long-term prospects for upkeep of this? Did we get a brand new building today? What is the maintenance of this? In an organization that is struggling for maintenance money in everything we do. So tell me what I'm getting here.
You're getting a building that the county had concerns with. The county has invested significant funding into the project to provide remediation of any concerns that engineering firms have seen during the process. The county has provided strong assurances that the remediation processes have been satisfactory. There are concerns that we have that, first of all, I don't think there's any indication that the facility is not safe, and our safety certification, certainly we would not operate unless the facility was safe. I don't think there's any concerns there. The concern might be that there are, over the years, there may be more maintenance required rather than normal wear and tear. So in our discussions with the county over the last several weeks, we've talked about different remedies to allow us to address those concerns as we go forward. We think we're in a position to work with the county on that, and so we think it's time to accept the facility, work with the county in having the facility maintained and provide an improved service to our customers.
Is there any litigation currently involving this building?
There is not.
No. Is there any, are you aware of any proposed litigation that's involved?
I think litigation is something that is discussed as a possibility. Again, we're working with the county to try to find the right remedies so that we can proceed and you know, protect the authority as well as protect the county.
Okay. Are we in any way indemnified by something that comes up a month, 2 months, 5 months, a year from now that is a huge cost factor now that we own this building? Is the county, do they stand behind this, or is that on us?
Mark, I'll ask, but I think our understanding is it's on us.
There are some warranties that which will transfer to the authority, but outside the scope of the warranties, it'll be an authority facility and therefore subject only to, you know, the authority.
If something were to happen, and it now is our building and we are responsible, are we in a position to be able to litigate against the individuals who are a company who built this thing, or do we step into the shoes of where the county is?
Under the terms of the memorandum of understanding with the county, we are what is called a third-party intended beneficiary, which means that if in fact there was some type of defect by either design or construction that led to our loss, we would be able to sue under the agreement, and again, take it through the normal litigation process.
Okay. And then finally, is the funding in our budget to be able to run this facility going forward?
Yes. So it was projected in 2016 that we would take ownership and that we will be operating it from a bus service standpoint, as well as plant maintenance and also our transit police.
Okay. Is there anything else I need to know before I vote on this that's out there that I haven't asked the right question?
No, I think you've asked the right questions. Okay. Again, we're asking for the authority to do it earlier rather than later, so that we can get the facility in place and in use and get ourselves off the streets of Silver Spring, which we have been for years, and we think it's going to be an improved service to our customers, those of Rydon, and working cooperatively with the county to make this happen.
Thank you very much. Jack, would you, for full disclosure, share with the board members what involvement we had in this particular project? That's the first thing. And secondly, who the contractors are on the project. And the third, forgive me, these three-part questions. The third portion is that how long does a contractor and design people warrant the project after receipt of the project?
I'll leave the third question to Mr. Pohl. I believe it's a year. The first question is, part of the memorandum of understanding, my understanding is we had about $900,000 available to us for inspection services, which we have used over the years to inspect the facility. We did not have as much control as we would have, say, on the Silver Line, but we had certainly had input into the continuing process of the design and the development and construction of the facility.
Yeah, that's only advisory.
Advisory, yes.
No. To accept any contract.
No, we could not shut the job down. We were an advisory standpoint. The general contractor was Folger Pratt, and the project engineer was Parsons Brinkerhoff, and there was a third firm, I believe, that was involved. I'm not sure of the third firm. So, Mark, I believe from a warranty standpoint?
Okay. I'm not sure of the exact duration of the warranties. So that it would be hard to say. I do not believe them to be for the life of the facility. That much I'm fairly comfortable in saying. I would assume them to be a few years, but I can look into it and get more information on that.
We first got a report about the Silver Spring thing. I suggested that we strongly consider what Jack was asking about but didn't ask the question, which is the creation of a sinking fund that would be available if further deficiencies were encountered at the transit center. Is that still in the memorandum of understanding? And if so, what is the value of the sinking fund?
There is not a sinking fund agreement at this time. There were communications from both sides in discussing that. And again, in discussions with the county, we believe that, you know, there's other remedies that we may have to take to try to provide assistance in the event that the facility has more than normal wear and tear.
I'm sad. I'm really sad to hear that. I thought that my suggestion over 2.5 years ago was a pretty sound financial recommendation.
To Mr. Price's question, the warrant is for 1 year.
Thank you.
Are there any property or development rights that are part of this exchange?
My understanding is there is property involved in it that can be developed to benefit WMATA in the future. I believe Mr. Robinson? Is that that would benefit WMATA? Yes. Yeah. So we gain the facility and the property for development potentials for the future.
Yes. Thank you. I would just like to commend the general manager for bringing this forward, this initiative, because bringing this consent item on the docket today will, as he's indicated, allow the Silver Spring Transit Center, which is a long-awaited project, not just for WMATA, but for the residents of Silver Spring and residents of Montgomery County, to come into effect before our next meeting. As presently scheduled, as the general manager explained, the county and the authority are going through a punch list. It is expected, as my information is, that the county should, WMATA should complete that exercise in the next week to 10 days, at which point the county will transfer the Silver Spring Transit Center to the authority. It would be a damn shame if we had to wait from the middle of August till the end of September to actually bring that service into effect through the general manager's initiative. It now looks to be the case that the transfer will take place. The county will be able to transfer title to the authority. The authority will be able to arrange the bus routes and bus drivers, and hopefully by the time people come back from vacation at the end of August and beginning of September, Labor Day, and begin to go back to work after Labor Day and go back to school, that the transit center will be in place. And it's a beautiful three-level facility that integrates WMATA bus, WMATA, WMATA rail, ride-on, and the MARC system, and it will provide for a seamless ability of commuters to transfer between these four different transportation modes, and to wait further into September to make this possible, I think is would be a damn shame. So I commend the general manager for bringing this forward, and I urge my colleagues to vote in favor of the consent motion this afternoon.
Yeah, I want to endorse Mr. Goldman's comments. I live in the District of Columbia, but in the northern part of Ward 4, so Silver Spring is my neighborhood, and certainly ultimately getting the buses off the street will enhance that whole movement of traffic as well as the integration of transit into a better system. So I think the sooner the better, and certainly I applaud your efforts to make that happen.
Mr. Corcoran.
Mr. Downey, and I understand. And moving forward with it, if it's the right thing to do, if it's safe. But following up on what Jack said, there is caution all over the place with this, and I know we've reserved the right for future things. But what have there been any extra safeguards with this property, with the construction deficiencies that were found on this property? Is there anything to make us rest easier that this is safe?
The safety certification, I think, and through the process that we've gone to, will indicate that there's no safety concerns about the operation. The concerns going forward that at some point in time that there may be a requirement to do more maintenance on this that would be more maintenance than would be generally expected at that point in time. And those are things that we would have to address at that point to ensure that the facilities remains in a safe and functional manner.
But at this time, that's up in the air, perhaps.
If
something goes wrong, perhaps, right, we will get something.
And we're still discussing with the county potential remedies to assist us with in the event that that takes place.
Other questions? I had one. Ms. Farley? No. Assuming everything does go well and we are ready to open it up in the next few weeks, do we have a campaign ready to explain that to the public, many of whom are not around at this time of the
That's
year?
That's right. Well, no, we do have it. Fortunately, we're not moving far. We're moving from the streets of Silver Spring to the facility. I think there's been, as the board members have mentioned, there's been ample discussion that about the facility. We do have a plan for communicating to our public, and with approval today that we will start implementing that plan, and we think we've got a number of weeks yet before we would actually implement service changes.
And one other question. Considering that the big concern is things that may happen over a long period of time of use and wear, do we have a plan for close monitoring over a long period of time to be nothing's happening that we should.
Our engineering staff has been involved from the beginning and will continue to be involved, and certainly will pay special attention to this facility as we move forward.
I think it would be helpful if the board got perhaps an annual report that says we've looked at it and it's still in good shape, or we've looked at it and here are things that should be undertaken.
Certainly part of our review program.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Mr. Price.
Yeah. Jack, it's my understanding that it's been a robust review of this particular project from a safety point of view and a punch list. Is that accurate?
Yes. The safety certification process by our safety staff is continuing and nearing completion, and we anticipate that to be a clear certification of the safety of the facility. And the punch list is of a minor nature. We did submit our numbers, and again, we expect the punch list to be complete, as you would with a house or something else, to be done in the next 10 days.
Okay. Well, you have my support. I think this thing is long overdue in terms of accepting of this center, and you assured us of a robust review, and so I'm comfortable with that.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the general manager is authorized to finish up the project, open it when needed. I would ask one question. Is Senator Sarbanes' name still on the project?
I believe so.
I hope we'll notify him that his...
He was there at the groundbreaking when I was there.
His legacy lives on. Second consent item, Mr. Requa.
Yes. Recently, the District City Council approved a mayor program to provide free transportation for students of the public and charter schools in the district to ride Metro Rail. We have a memorandum of understanding with the district in regards to bus ridership, to where the district compensates WMATA for the ridership. And the district has proposed a payment up to $100 per month per registered child to use Metro Rail to get to and from school. We think it's a great opportunity to provide the transportation, to get the youth ingrained in using public transportation. We think it has a great deal of benefits. Obviously, produces more revenue for WMATA, but we need to make an amendment to the memorandum of understanding. School starts later in August, and we're looking for authority to receive board approval to amend that agreement at this point in time so that we can take the final steps to try to have everything in place before the start of school, which is, I think, about August 25th or so. 24th? Thank you.
Can I have a motion to approve this consent item?
So moved.
Is there a second? Any discussion, questions, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Mr. Rookpo, how did you come up with $100 a month per student? I'm just curious on how that number came.
I give full credit to the district. They said $100. Our current process, we have a student pass, currently a student pass for about 4,000 students. Pay $30 for a monthly pass. The district pays an additional $36, and then we charge the district for a per ride cost. Our $100 will average out about 52 rides per month, and what we've seen with the 4,000 students that we average about 30 rides a month. So we think we are well covered in this process and that it's going to show an increase in ridership on rail. Some of the bus people may transfer over to rail, but we think there's going to be a growth in public transportation used by the students for the charter and public school only, and the pass is only good for the 63 stations that are within the district or on the border of the district. It's not for use throughout the entire system.
Thank you.
Are there other questions, comments?
Yes.
Yes, sorry.
Is there a way that we can request an analysis of the ridership and revenue and the policies that could potentially impact the other jurisdictions?
Absolutely. We, in discussions with the district, we wanted to assure them that we, through their process of registering cards, we'll essentially track each and every ride that is used by card. We can notify them of any abuse of the card if we think that there is, and we will be able to give them monthly, or the board, monthly ridership counts and revenue projections, revenue receipts, and this is a one-year program with the district, and certainly in the event that you know, some changes need to be made, or if this program is reapproved by the district, that we could make some modifications to the program at that time.
Just following up on Ms. Harley's question, since this was a last-minute item and brought to it, there isn't the kind of preparatory memorandum or consideration of a committee and then presentation to the board. What I would request is if you could provide the board with an economic analysis of what you project to be the revenues on this 1 year of the program, mm-hmm. and what you project as the cost to the system, WMATA, what are the costs of carrying these school children for the year,
Just
so
quickly,
that we can see after a year whether the project has met these expectations, whether WMATA has been a winner on this, or whether WMATA has ended up carrying some freight on this, so that we're in a position, if the program is proposed for the next year, that we'll be in a better position to evaluate it on a second round.
Yes, I think soon the students begin to register for the transportation program, and that will be an indication of how many students will be using their DC-1 cards to ride transit. So that'll be our first indication of how much use there might be or how many participants there would be. The district has budgeted $7 million for the increase in compensation to the authority as a result of this program. So those are, I guess, anticipated expenditures by the district. We think it'll come within that number, and the expenditures of the authority to operate the service really are no different than they are today. We think we've got capacity for the students, and we certainly encourage them to ride the system. But we will be able to give you the kind of analysis that you're asking for. And I apologize for the late request to accept this, but this program wasn't finalized with the district until late yesterday afternoon.
There's obviously some cost to this, sure. Because as of today, one would assume to the extent these students ride on Metrorail, they're paying something. And what's going to happen is that under the program, you're going to lose that sort of per student revenue, which will be replaced by this revenue from the district of $100 per student per month. So there is some theoretical loss of revenue.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think the district is picking up the employee. The district is picking up the student's expense. The $30 that the student pays now, that's being picked up by the district. The district will continue to pay the $36 that they do to subsidize it, and then we will account for the ridership and charge the district accordingly.
Well, I thought the $36 was for the access to Metro Bus.
No, Metro Bus we charge the district per ride on Metro Bus that is counted for. All students are accounted for, and then we bill them accordingly for the bus program. That bus program does continue. This is an additional program.
I would still appreciate some projection.
We'll be happy to do that, and we'll certainly have the better expectations once the registration takes place.
I am anxious to see the numbers back and see what the impact is as we start to move communities in Fairfax County who are using a yellow bus and another yellow bus going down the street taking students. We believe it's a good thing, and it's an investment in our future. Yeah. And I think we can talk about the cost and understand what the cost is to WMATA and how we ask our partners in jurisdiction to manage that cost for us. But it is the future that we really want to see. And it does not only for the young people, but it does for the number of other transportation modes that go down the street and have to transport people in a different way. So it's an encouragement, and I'm looking forward to the outcomes because I'm looking forward to the opportunity to extend it.
Yeah, I also concur with that because many of our young people they do ride the bus, but they're long distances, and using the train system will accelerate their time in terms of getting to school and so forth. And I think this is something that's very worthwhile, and it's essential for us to move forward on this so that we can make sure our kids can get to school on a timely basis and a safe basis. So that concludes my comments regarding that. I think it's very imperative. And I do agree with you, a program of this nature, as we continue to expand out further and so forth, I'm sure there'll be other jurisdictions at some point in time will be utilizing that particular option. And I also look forward to the analysis, and we have a chance to review it and see if it's working economically. But it's the right social thing to do, and it's imperative for us when we talk about educating our youth and so forth to ensure that they're able to get to school. And that concludes my comments at this point.
Any other comments? I think that point is we have a valuable asset in our system, and the more we can use it for the benefit of the whole community, the better off we and the community will be. I did have one question, but I think you answered it. In terms of potential abuse, we do have the safeguards that if a card is being used many places across the system, many times of the day or night, we can track that back to the user.
We will track that back to the user. We can identify it to the district, and the district can take the appropriate action to, turn the card off.
Could envision a secondary card.
That is intended to be a part of the process, is to do that type of evaluation throughout the program.
Any other questions? Hearing none, all in favor? Any opposed? Hearing none, consent is approved.
Thank you very much on both items, and apologize for coming at the last minute.
Right. Thank you. Before we adjourn, I wanted to give Mr. Rico an opportunity to make some service announcements.
Yes, I think we've been providing the public with updates throughout the day. We had a talk to the press early this morning before 9 o'clock. We also did a brief update at 2:05. My understanding is of 2:30 this afternoon that we have begun single tracking through the affected area between Federal Triangle and Smithsonian. We certainly want to apologize to our customers for the inconveniences that were created today, and we'll continue through the afternoon. We were able to just quickly, three cars of a six-car train derailed in a crossover when the train was in non-passenger service, preparing for morning service. We were able to remove two of the cars that would allowed us to open up one track, and that was how we are. That's how we are able now to allow single tracking through that process. The process of re-railing the three cars that were impacted by the derailment will take place. As that process takes place, we will then evaluate the conditions of the track to make sure there are no repairs necessary, or if they are necessary, we'll try to have that done. And at some point in the process, we'll have a better estimate of what we'll be able to provide tomorrow. So again, we certainly want to apologize. We provided over 50 buses to provide bus service, and we know that bus service cannot meet the needs of the rail ridership. We tried to encourage our passengers to take alternative transportation or take alternative routes within our system to make their trips this morning. The trip will be slower this afternoon, but I think at least it'll be better than it was this morning, and we hopefully will have things. Ideally, we'd like to have things certainly up and running again tomorrow morning. Again, all rides on the bus in the downtown area that at affected stations have been free. The gates at the stations were open to allow people to move in and out once they determine what the impact was on their trip. And so, you know, we're trying to provide as many conveniences and updates as we can. And we have found that through alerts and the use of the press that we've had a good understanding of what the situation is, and we've kept everybody updated.